You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Check it out, Joe. Oh, boy. Final game of the regular season. It does matter, or does it? Here's what I'm getting at, right? No, you want to win. You want to win tonight. I don't know if you can control. 5, 6, 7, 8. I know you can't be fourth in the Western Conference. Thankfully, Mr. Daniel Salerson, the Pels Radio Network, will join us in a matter of 30 seconds or so to help break down what's the possible scenarios. And
uh-oh, guess what day it is? Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more that, what, that Camel Wednesday hump day is what it is.
Uh-huh. It's the midway point of your work week. Welcome to halftime. 2 more days, Pepito. Just 2 more days until the weekend. And this weekend, you know what the big difference is?
Playoff weekend.
NBA playoffs begin on Saturday. Will the Pels play on Saturday and Sunday? I don't know. We'll ask Daniel. First, your words of wisdom. At D. Salerson's a way to follow the pregame, halftime, postgame voice. And during the game, little sideline reporting action as well from Daniel, and also chimes in as well. Call some games occasionally every now and then for the Pels Radio Network. You can hear that game tonight here on ESPN New Orleans. Super pumped up. Daniel, final game of the regular season, and it matters.
Oh, it matters big time. It's such a big game tonight against the Spurs. It's kind of a little bit like 3 years ago when the Pelicans had a chance to beat the Spurs and make the NBA playoffs. This one, the good thing is you're in already. It's just matters of what seat you're going to get. So tonight is still very important for both teams.
Okay. So to kind of refresh folks where it is right now, 1 and 2 is a done deal. Rockets and Warriors. Now, the Jazz are third because of their win yesterday. They play today against the Trailblazers, which are fourth. New Orleans is 5. Spurs 6. Thunder 7. NOLA, San Antonio, Oklahoma City, same record. T-Wolves and Nuggets, same record. Minnie's in right now, but both of them play tonight. T-Wolves and Nuggets, winner is in, loser is out. But if the Pels finish or fall to 8, the tiebreaker goes to Denver, Minnesota. So it's nuts, man, how it goes. But you just win, right? Just win and see what happens?
Yeah, basically it. I mean, if you win tonight, you can't get any worse than 6th. You're either 5th or 6th. And then, like you said, if you lose, you're most likely going to fall to 8th. The key game, actually, what's funny to look at, if you're only trying to figure out who the Pelicans could play in the first round, would be the Memphis-Oklahoma City game. Let's say that Oklahoma City takes care of business, which you think you should. Then no matter what else happens tonight, if the Pelicans win, they will play the Portland Trailblazers. If they lose, they'll drop down to 8th, play the Houston Rockets. So with all this stuff going on, it might just be as easy as, hey, OKC takes care of business, Pelicans take care of business, the team's off to Portland.
Wow. So there's no shot that Portland can move up to the third, even if, what if Utah loses?
No, so Portland can move up to the third, but what would happen is Utah, Oklahoma City, and New Orleans would be in a three-way tie for 4th, 5th, and 6th. Because of the Pelicans' record against those two common opponents, it's actually the worst one of the three, so they would drop all the way down to 6th. Which would get the Pelicans a 6-3 matchup with the Portland Trailblazers.
So let's
say
go.
Utah wins.
I got you.
If Utah wins and Portland drops to 4, then the Pelicans only have to worry about the tiebreaker with the Thunder. And if those two win, the Pelicans own that tiebreaker. So they stay at 5 and play Portland at 4 or 5. So like I said, as long as Oklahoma City wins, the Pelicans take care of business. They're playing Portland. It's just a matter of what seed they are, whether it's a 6 seed or a 5 seed.
That's why we have Daniel Salerson in, because you just broke it down very easy. So we focus on the Thunder game, and then, you know, it's the matchup that I think, Daniel, a lot of Pels fans want. Fair or not fair, because Portland's pretty good. I mean, we're talking about a team that has been in the 3 spot for a while And but you look at the matchups. Look, none of these matchups are easy. But what I've been saying, Daniel, is when I look at these matchups, the Pels have played pretty well against most of those teams. I don't think they match up well for some reason this year against Minnesota. They've looked terrible against them. Denver's a tough place to go play. Dude, I want to avoid the Jazz. I don't know why they don't look good against the Jazz, especially down low against bigs, and they got a possible rookie of the year. I think Portland's probably where I'm kind of landing right now.
Yeah, I would agree with you right now. When you look at Utah Jazz, not only the fact that the Pelicans really haven't played well against them all season long, but the way Utah is playing heading into the postseason, they're one of the hottest teams here along with the Pelicans. They're the only ones, along with the Nuggets, are on winning streaks of four or more right now in the Western Conference. So the Jazz are certainly a team, and it's very important to also go into the postseason on a winning note. Look at the Golden State Warriors and how bad they've been playing the last. They got smoked by Utah last night by 40 points. So facing Utah is not ideal. That can still happen if somehow Memphis upsets OKC and some other things happen that Pelicans could be playing the Utah Jazz. But, yeah, I think Portland's the best matchup for New Orleans. They split the season series 2-2. One of the wins at Portland was without Anthony Davis. You had the tough loss in April here against the Portland Trail Blazers. But they haven't had a lot of success facing AD in the past. So they've had answers for some of the other guys. But they have had a problem guarding Anthony Davis, which I think will help the Pelicans. So, yeah, I think Portland's the obvious one that you would like. You don't want to see the Thunder, I don't think, in a 4 or 5 matchup. So I think everyone should be rooting for Oklahoma City tonight. But, again, it all matters is the Pelicans take care of business. And then who knows? I mean, we talk about even if they drop to 7 or 8, yeah, you don't want that. But anything can happen. And the fact that the Pelicans can land one of those 5 or 6 seeds, yeah, I mean, no matter who you play, even if it's Utah, you have a chance to get out of the first round and make some noise, which is something that we wouldn't have said earlier in the season.
Right, no doubt. Speaker Daniel Salerson, part of the Pels Radio Network. You can hear it here tonight, Pels and Spurs. New Orleans, a 3.5-point favorite. You know, it's been a long, long time, man, since you can say going into the final game of a season series, New Orleans has gotten the better of San Antonio. Now, I know it hasn't been a typical Spurs season, not having Kawhi Leonard, having to deal with, obviously, just LaMarcus Aldridge. But still, man, the games in which the Pels have won, they're battles. I mean, they're battles that come down to the end. I don't know how Ginobili does what he does. That team is just, it's a battle-tested team. And I can't expect that the Spurs won't give it anything other than their very best. Look at it from their perspective, Daniel. Why would it behoove San Antonio to leave it all out on the floor tonight?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing for the same thing as the Pelicans. They have a chance to go up all the way to even the 4 seed today. There is a possibility here. If they win, Denver wins, Memphis wins, and Utah wins tonight, they're up at number 4. They can also go as low as 8 tonight with some other things happening. So there's definitely plenty of reason for the Spurs to play really hard tonight. It's also a Greg Popovich team. There's never been a team really that backs down whenever you have Greg Popovich, no matter who's on the floor, and we've seen it with this team. Kawhi Leonard's only played 9 games this season, and they're still 47-34. Yeah, they're not going to get the 50 wins for the first time in the bajillion years. They're still a solid team with LaMarcus Aldridge, Deontay Murray. You have Tony Parker, Manu Ginobili. They still have some talent around this ball club, and there's no way they're backing down tonight. And the Pelicans have a really tough task and can finally win a season series against the Spurs for the first time in a long time as well.
You know, it's crazy when you take a look at what the season's sort of been, and what's remarkable to me is not only that they made the playoffs, especially after an injury of Boogie Cousins type, but Daniel, they've been playing playoff basketball, dude, for about a month and a half, probably, even when you look at it, from the 10-game win streak, you add, what, 4 or 5 a loss, then a 4-game losing streak, and you had a mini couple win streaks in between those. It's just been remarkable, the up and down of the season, and then within the last half of the season, what they've been able to accomplish in the games they've had to win and how they've won them. It's remarkable. And in all the years that they've come here since Charlotte and then became the Pels and all that, man, it's got to be one of the most interesting and intriguing and fun seasons to cover, because you want to fire people, you want to trade this, you want to give up hope, they're moving away. And now all of a sudden, here we are talking about the postseason, and I think a lot of Pels fans think they can get in the second round.
Yeah, there's been a lot of highs and lows, that's for sure, and I think even, that's to say the least. But I think ever since the All-Star break, when Jrue Holiday has been saying that, it felt like playoff mentality ever since then, because the margin of error has been so slim for them that they've had no choice but to come out and play with that mentality that you lose a game or a couple games and you're in trouble. And everyone thought the same thing when they were on that four-game losing streak was, man, are they going to go down to 7 or 8? And then you go on this three-game road trip where you might not even clinch or might not be able to clinch during the road trip, go, oh, crap, is this team going to be in trouble when you have Golden State and the Clippers who are still in it until that Saturday afternoon when the Pelicans beat the Warriors, and all of a sudden you win all three games. And then if you look at it from the standpoint of getting some help, the Pelicans got no help over the weekend when the Pelicans, when they were on the road
right.
trip. If they would have lost one of those games, we could be talking about scoreboard watching to see if the Pelicans even get in tonight with the tiebreakers they don't hold against Minnesota and Denver. But yeah, it's been a remarkable season for them. There's a lot of people that thought the Pelicans weren't going to make the playoffs even with Boogie in the fold. They thought they'd be finishing 9 or 10 with maybe 40, 42 wins. And even without, I mean, even with Boogie for half the season, I mean, this team has played some unbelievable basketball. Alvin Gentry has done such a great job. And then, of course, the emergence of Anthony Davis and the play of Drew Holiday. I mean, we can't talk enough about Drew Holiday's play, not only offensively, but defensively this season. So, yeah, it's been a lot of fun to watch, and I hope they can end the season on a winning note tonight against San Antonio.
Spurs and Pels, and I think the Western Conference is going to be fun to look at. Daniel, if the season ended today with those standings, you have Rockets, T-Wolves, Warriors, Thunder. How much fun is that going to be? Jazz
yeah.
and Spurs, Blazers, Pels. And again, this could move depending how teams sort of go, but I could easily see, I don't see a sweep, do you?
No, I also don't see a bad matchup. I mean, there's intriguing things with the Rockets in Minnesota if that happens this weekend, where you have Jimmy Butler coming back in the fold. The Timberwolves were a 3 seed before Jimmy Butler got hurt. So
right.
If you think about the Rockets playing an 8, that's probably the worst possible 8 scenario you can play coming into your first round game. Golden State, Oklahoma City, you know there's going to be some storylines there with Kevin Durant versus Russell Westbrook, and will that big three turn it on in the playoffs? And then you have Utah, who's been one of the hottest teams ever since Rudy Gobert came back, and could they possibly face the Spurs team that you can never count the Spurs out of a playoff scenario? And then the Portland Trailblazers, Pelicans, you have two teams on the rise that Damian Lillard and CJ McCollum, one of the best backcourts against Anthony Davis, that remember when we saw him in the playoffs 3 years ago, even though the Pelicans got swept, AD was averaging almost 35 points per game in the playoffs. It was a coming out party, so I can't imagine him playing any worse than that, just the way he's been playing lately. So, yeah, I agree. There might not be a sweep, but, man, you can turn the TV on there this whole weekend and go, oh, Western Conference? You should definitely stay on that channel because it's going to be a fun game to watch.
No doubt. And when you take a look, a quick peek over in the Eastern Conference, Daniel, what's surprising to me is really I think in seasons past, right, you're just sitting there going, all right, look, it's the Cavs versus Warriors. It's the Cavs, and maybe last year, like, okay, maybe somebody will give them some sort of game, but pretty much it's been an easy trip to the Eastern Conference Finals, much less the NBA Finals. I don't think that this year. And, dude, I mean, 15 in a row the 76ers have won. I would have thought it was nice to maybe see them get out of the first round or maybe make some noise and have the first or second seed sort of sweat them. They're the third seed. They've won 15 in a row, and I don't know who wants to play the 76ers right now.
No, they are the most intriguing team in the Eastern Conference right now based on how far do you think they can go. They are a very talented team, but they're also a very young team. Joel Embiid hasn't been in the situation before. Ben Simmons has not been in the situation before. Your veteran guy on that team is J.J. Redick. And then, of course, the Cavs, as long as LeBron James on that team, you can't count him out. And now with the injury to Kyrie Irving on the Celtics, I mean, are the Celtics even going to – they could potentially even lose in the first round. I think they've been playing well still without him, but you never know how long Boston can last in this. And then Toronto, who has been playing really well this season, is the one seed. If the Cleveland Cavaliers is a 4-5 matchup, you see Cleveland in the second round. Is Toronto Raptors make it out of the second round if you're facing Cleveland? It's just so many interesting topics. And then, like you said, the 76ers are the team that I think are the hottest going into the playoffs right now. So could they make a run of the finals and play the Cleveland Cavaliers? It's just there's so many storylines. You can't forget about the Pacers, who have definitely played well this season. Not a lot of people thought they'd do well this good without Paul George, and Victor Oladipo has certainly stepped up for them, and Miles Turner. I think the East is just as intriguing as the West. I think obviously the West is, 1-8 a little better than the Eastern Conference, but you can't go wrong with some of these second round matchups in the East if you have Toronto, Cleveland, and Boston 76ers. It should be fun.
Daniel, you gave us a lot of info, but you broke it down and made it as simple as possible, and it's real simple. Check out Oklahoma City. If they win, Pels win, they'll take on the Portland Trail Blazers. It'll be this weekend. Any thought that you think it'll be a Saturday or Sunday?
No clue on that one. It's so tough. I'm hoping it's Sunday for preparation's sake. That way, if
right.
traveling one of these next 2 games won't be fun if it's a Saturday game. But, no, it's so up in the air right now. And, again, we might not know anything until early Thursday morning just because of that Jazz-Blazers game is at 9:30 Central. I know they try to get the schedule out around 11 or midnight just based on the other games that have happened. But if there's mm-hmm. still, you know, seating and different other things to play for, then we might not see that schedule till early Thursday morning. So no idea about Saturday or Sunday. But as I mentioned, if Oklahoma City wins, you're playing either Portland at the 3-6 or 4-5, or you're playing Houston if you lose at number 8. So at least you'll sort of know your opponent come around 9:30 when the Pelicans game ends.
Easy enough. Daniel, as always, man, appreciate your time. Thank you for kind of going over a couple of matchups and reasons why I think a lot of Pels fans are excited. I think it's going to be a nice crowd at the Smoothie King Center tonight, don't you?
I hope so. I would assume that it would be close to a sellout. I think everyone should show up. This team has definitely deserved these fans to come and get loud, and let's show what a playoff atmosphere could look like. Tonight is certainly a playoff game to most people, so I would expect a great crowd to get loud, and I hope to see everyone at the Smoothie King Center tonight.
Well, next week, man, there will be some playoff games in the Smoothie King Center. Looking forward to that. We'll talk again, Daniel. Thank you, bud.
Thanks, my friend.
Yep, listen to it tonight right here on ESPN New Orleans. Pepito, I know you're super excited. You ready for a little playoff basketball? You should
be. Yeah, why not?
Yeah.
It's been too long.
It is. 2015, man. What were you doing in 2015?
Up to no good.
You were.
I was on the air with... No, was I on the air with you?
Yeah.
I don't know.
They were on the air.
Yeah, we were.
Yeah.
We were killing it. You were the worst part of the show at that time.
You know what? Speaking of, when we come back... My new favorite friend on Twitter.
Yep.
At least I think so. Kevin. My buddy, old pal.
Friend of the program.
New favorite friend. I'm going to follow him on Twitter right now.
Okay.
Yep. Sports Hangover continues next on ESPN New Orleans. Excited about if you're a Wave fan. A little spring game action there. Nichols had it a couple weekends ago. And LSU spring game is next weekend. Just spoke with Daniel Salison on the Pels and Spurs game tonight. So he said it's real easy, right? It's Trailblazers and Rockets right now. It's kind of what it looks like. But we have some Saints news. A little breaking Saints news, Pepito. You ready for it?
Let's hear it.
I was waiting for the open. I like it. I like the song.
Who doesn't?
Go marching.
That's not the update. Give us the update.
Cameron Meredith is your new Saints receiver.
Oh, look at that.
As the Bears didn't match the offer sheet, he'll be catching passes from Drew Brees. What are you laughing at? I was doing so well. Then you smirked. And now you threw me off. That could have been a hit.
Okay.
Adam Schefter, ESPN, says the Bears have decided not to match the offer sheet that he signed with the Saints, and it was mainly a medical decision. 2-year, $10 million offer sheet. Ryan Pace and Matt Nagy met with Meredith to inform him of the decision. Per Schefter, it's mainly based off that medical decision because Meredith is coming off of a torn ACL and MCL, and the Bears were hesitant to commit that much to a player coming off of such a serious knee injury. Again, I refer to the tweet that Nick Underhill, the Advocate, had back on Friday, I believe, where he listed all of the money that the Bears were going to have in receivers if they were matching it. So, yeah, look, I hear them. I mean, it makes sense not to give somebody a lot of money coming off of a torn ACL, but also you have to look at the amount of money that they had invested on already a lot of the Bears receivers. So I get it. This was the tweet from Underhill back on the 6th. Allen Robinson, $11.6 million. Taylor Gabriel, $5.5 million. Kevin White, $5.2 million. And Josh Bellamy, $1.9 million already on the books. So that could be close to $30 million on receivers if they match, is what he tweeted. So you can kind of sort of see that coming. But again, maybe it was a little tougher decision in Then we all thought, as they waited literally into the final hours here of the deadline, at 5 days to match. Today is the fifth day, and it's mid-afternoon or so when you have to have that decision made. So, boom. Saints now have Cameron Meredith as the receiver opposite Michael Thomas there. And again, you got Ted Ginn. And, you know, you didn't offer the tender to Willie Snead, or you did. It was the lowest tender with no compensation. And Brandon Coleman didn't get one. And now you have a 6'3 receiver who had a good, you know, season before the ACL tear. So roughly about 45 minutes before that deadline came up at 3 o'clock, the Bears decide not to match. And again, Cameron had just under 1,000 yards. 66 catches is what he had going into, or, you know, the season before he got injured and had that torn ACL. 25 years old, as I mentioned, 6'3", 66 catches, 888 yards. But again, had that knee injury. Saints taking a gamble, hoping that he comes back. And again, with ACL injuries the way they are now, pretty easy to come back from. And when I say easy, in terms of rehab's gotten better, the surgeries have gotten better, and it's not as career-ending or really altering as it was, you know, years ago. I mean, so much so the Saints are banking, literally, that he's going to come back. Again, he hasn't, this isn't, you know, he didn't have a good year after ACL injury or something like that. No, he just had it. So he hasn't played a game since the injury. First game that happens will be with the Saints. But there you go. Again, Bears signed a lot of teams, a lot of players, using some of their cap space that they had. It's around $24 million, 25. Saw another figure, it was close to 30. Either way, though, he's your newest Saint. So, Jason, are you super excited about
that? Look at that.
Huh? Got a receiver. That was maybe a position that I could see the Saints maybe going in the draft. Again, you see the team kind of addressing a lot of their needs. Edge pass rusher is still one that they have not gotten. Again, they went after Ndamukong Suh, were unable to get that. But really have done, I think, a nice job in the offseason and free agency to go get players that I think will help them. Again, how many of those are flashy players that the rest of the league go, oh, these are great signings? I don't know about all that. But I do think they make sense. And they definitely didn't pay a premium or out of pocket to where you're affected by it. I guess it's one of the ways I would look at it from that perspective. You take it, just remember all those little small deals they made there as well. Remember, Thomas Moore said a 5-year extension to kind of clear some cap space and do things like that. So, Saints get a need at receiver and a veteran and a guy that has some height, some size on him too. It's going to help. Again, to me, that third receiver spot is something that, maybe even the second receiver spot. I mean, again, Willie Snead not contributing, not last year. And then the tight end position, not contributing in the passing game like it had in the past. There are your third down numbers. You never want to play the what-if game. You'll never sleep. But boy, if the Saints could have gotten anything on third down, right? And could have gotten anything in those positions, man, you might have been able to maybe make a deeper run. Win one or two more games, and you're hosted. One or two more games, you could be competing as they were for the top two seeds. Man, that loss to Atlanta is still burning, huh? Still don't know why Drew Brees went to Josh Hill. I'm not blaming Josh Hill. I mean, Drew Brees is the one that threw it in the crowd around Josh Gilbert.
And somebody made the call. You'll get over it one day.
But that's what I'm saying, though, right? A game like that, if you just one or two more wins, they would have done that. But I like the moves. And again, this goes back to the point, and we were talking about on Twitter, with all of these different elements as to maybe if the Saints go quarterback or not. You've addressed some areas of concern, and you've also provided some depth as well. Patrick Robinson, nickel corner. DeMario Davis, starting linebacker, to add to a improving group of linebackers, especially last year, that were ravaged by injury, though. Safety, Kurt Coleman, helping you back there. Javon Bushrod, adding to the offensive line depth. Can play guard, can play tackle. And you just look at it, though, folks. They try to get Jordy Nelson. There were reports they were trying to bring in other receivers as well and talk to other receivers. So, makes a lot of sense. They went out on Friday, gave an offer sheet to Cameron Meredith. The Bears declined to offer, and he is now your newest member of the Saints. Eric on Twitter has a bum knee. Watch the bum knee. As I tweeted, Saints have a new receiver, and Eric says with a bum knee. Let's hope the bum knee recovers. Let's hope the bum knee does well. Sports Hangover continues next. We'll talk with Todd Graffinini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, on their one-run win over UNO yesterday, and I'm sure he wants to touch on the Pels. You got to give him credit. Got to have him on, Jason. He was courtside on some of these games, heckling players.
He was doing his part.
Yeah.
I love it.
I mean, without him, does Lonzo Ball continue to shoot threes and miss?
It's a very good
question. In that Lakers game. I mean, I have to almost give one of these wins to the Graf.
At least one.
He was there, right, in these other games. I want to say Houston, too. I mean, again, he's been a part of a couple of wins, and I guess basically we just got to see if he's going to have courtside seats for the playoffs. That's kind of what we need.
He's the opposite of you.
Which would be?
The Elgato Negro effect.
That's something that he came up with that has no merit.
That's real.
That does not happen.
Ask a Southeastern's baseball team.
They could have lost the two games to Jackson State Alabama without me.
Probably could have won them if not for having to talk to you.
That's all the time we have for you.
Mamma mia! Mamma mia!
You know, I love Graf's walk-up music. I like it even more with the Mamma Mia.
Even more appropriate now.
Even more appropriate. I mean, this sounds great, Graf, but when you add a little Mamma Mia to it... I know you love your soccer and you love play-by-play calls, seeing as that's, it's kind of what you do. Todd Graffinini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, joins us at NT Graff on Twitter. When I play that, you heard it. Is that not what you would think a Rome play-by-play announcer would call a big-time goal?
I mean, it sounds like an Olive Garden commercial. I mean, what's the next? The pizza pie! A buongiorno! A bella sera! Come on. The Don Corleone!
Yeah. It's beautiful. I loved it.
Any stereotype you want to come up with right there, Nod?
Hey, You now have a challenge. You had a walk-off yesterday, as Tulane won by one in a walk-off manner, walk-off double. But now you have to incorporate a little of your Italian side there. I mean, you're a Graffinini.
Yeah.
You got to give me a Mamma Mia. The next walk-off, you have to throw it in. We'll cut it up and we'll use it.
You know what, Gus? Oh, wow. I've never, actually thought about ever what I would say during, but I might have to wing one. I might have to take one for the team and do it for the sports hangover one time. I might have to do that. Mamma mia!
Exactly. Just there it is over the fence. La la mamma mia! I mean, just go ahead there. Yeah.
Yeah. No,
you would do it a lot better than that.
I'll see what I can do, Gus. I'll see what I can do.
Oh, my goodness. I'll say this. When you take a look at this all, do you need heart medication when you take on UNO? I mean, all three games have been by one run. I know they wanted to bring back the Pelican Cup, kind of bring a little back that rivalry. You called two. I called the first game of this series. I guess the people that got this together to make it a best of three again for the Cup got what they wanted, all three games. One run, and came down in the ninth inning, all three.
Yeah, you know, and I know it's a very old cliche, but it truly is. And I've been calling Tulane UNO games for a long, long time. And even before I started doing radio, Gus, just as a, you know, a kid in high school, going to old Tulane Diamond, and, of course, out on the lakefront to watch those games, you know, it truly is a throw the records out type of game, and it just does not matter who is good this year or who isn't that good in another year. It has no bearing for the most part. It really is an at the down to the last bat type of deal, and that's the way it was this year. Again, all three games coming down literally to the ninth inning, two walk-offs, one here in New Orleans. In New Orleans, of course, uptown, one on the lakefront. Of course, the game last Tuesday was one in the top of the ninth by UNO. So that's what they wanted. They wanted a close series. They got it. No, unfortunately for Tulane, UNO was able to win it. But, you know, just last night, Tulane needed a win, and it didn't matter who it was against. And I'm happy for the guys because, no, look, it was a tough weekend in Wichita, and it's been a tough stretch midweek, Gus. We hadn't won a midweek game right since February. And, you know, I get to the ballpark really early, and a lot of those guys were out there working very early yesterday, well before batting practice even started. And it's just good to see hard work pay off. And, you know, it's been a tough year, man. I mean, it really has. And it's just good to see these guys not mailing it in and continuing to work hard and try to get better because, you know, we still got a lot of season left, Gus. We still have a right month left to go. And you never know what game is going to turn it around and you go on a run.
That's what I was going to ask you. We spoke with Brian Johnson. He says, hey, look, this is around the time of year that you want to start seeing some things turning around. He's seeing that with the Colonels. Sharif Oshak said with LSU, and you look at it, and I was talking about the numbers after their first two SEC series in the Paul Maneri era. It's pretty much what it is, you know, right now at 6-6. And in a lot of those years, there were less than six wins, went on a College World Series. You've been doing baseball for over 20 years. This is the time of the year, this time of April, where you're either going to be a postseason team or not, right?
Yeah, you got to start tuning it up. I mean, this is crunch time, and I know it's still April, but, you know, each conference now is basically four series in our league. It's three because we start a week later. But, yeah, I mean, you got to start tuning it up right now. You got to start playing your best baseball down the stretch. And, look, Tulane is not. It's just been really inconsistent. Now, we'll say this. You know, Tulane, the best stretch this year has been a three-game winning streak. But the worst stretch of the year is a three-game losing streak. It's just been very flatlined on both sides, Gus. You know, there hasn't really been any deep, deep valleys to climb out of, but there hasn't really been any type of stretches where you can look back and say, boy, we're playing really, really solid baseball. So it's really that time now where Tulane's got to figure out a way to get on a kind of a roll. The problem is that when you get to the weekends, as we're on now, we're facing some dudes on the mound, especially this weekend with Houston, who's, you know, arguably got the best pitching staff in our league. And it's just tough to get on a winning streak when you're facing top-flight pitching every single day. One of the oldest things in the book in baseball is momentum is the next day's starting pitcher. And it's absolutely true. I mean, you think about it, Tulane back on Friday against Wichita State scored 19 runs and had 17 hits, and the next day scored two runs. I mean, it's just whoever's pitching the next day has all the bearing on what's going to happen that day. So we're just looking for some consistency, Gus, day after day.
Got Houston in Uptown New Orleans. That will be the series this weekend, as you mentioned. Spring game as well is 11 a.m. And I don't know, you look around, some of the preseason sort of folks that cover college football, they expect a bowl season for Tulane this year.
I'll go with that. Why not? and look, I just, you know, I think this offense is really geared to bust out. And that's really been the talk of spring practice, is how Jonathan Banks has just completely taken a hold of this offense and the quarterback position, and now looks like the guy that he did in the last three, four games of the season, where Tulane's offense really was outstanding. And with Banks, you know, fully healthy and fully grasping the offense. And now, you know, Gus, you think about it, he didn't really have a wide receiver core that he could count on early in the year, but with the emergence of what Ankalah did, and especially Darnell Mooney and Jabril Clewis, you know, those guys now have been here all spring long. And again, with Banks doing what he's doing, and of course you throw in the running attack, and look, we're losing Dontrell Hilliard and Sherman Beatty, but you know, from everything that I've seen and been told during practice, I mean, the running back situation is going to be just as solid as it has been. And I think the talk of camp is Darius Bradwell, who again was a quarterback coming out of high school in Tallahassee. We saw a little of what he could do at the end of his freshman year, and then last year really started to come on in the last stretches of the season. Of course, had that big run in the final game against SMU for a touchdown, a couple of touchdowns actually in that game, and he looks like an absolute beast now. And that is going to be a guy you're going to have to contend with, because he's basically a fullback or a linebacker type body with a lot of speed and maneuverability. So that's going to be a guy who I think is going to have a monster year, Gus. And you just throw along the fact that Banks has the offense now and has looked so sharp in spring practice. I think that's really going to be the key for Tulane this year, is how many points we're going to score on a game-by-game basis.
Ty Graffinini, voice of the Tulane Green Wave, and also, at one point, Hell's Radio Network, actually Hornets Radio Network, when it first got here. You saw some playoff basketball. You were part of it right there, courtside. I know you and I, we text during the season, during the games, to the point where, you know, we don't want to watch. It's over. Shut it down. Trade, pressure wash. And then they're great. They can beat anybody. Have you seen such a roller coaster type season like this since they've been? I mean, it's been incredible to cover. I mean, really, honestly.
It's, you know what? I keep going back to that Rockets game, Gus. And, you know, I was very fortunate to be right in the middle of that game, and the game that Boogie went down. And, you know, to see the joy in the arena, and then literally 30 seconds later, the air completely sucked out. And I don't think that anybody in this city, other than, of course, the guys in that locker room and the head coach, well, you know, maybe even not the guys in the locker room for a stretch.
Right.
The head coach absolutely did. But who would have thought that they would be in this position when Boogie went down? And I just think it's a testament to what those guys did, to see that brand of ball and to see the ball sharing. And I know you and Dino have been talking about this for years, but to see it actually come to fruition and to go on that 10-game winning streak and then the losing streak and then back to where they are right now. I mean, you think about it, Gus, this, you know, you throw out those clunkers at the beginning of the season when, you know, they're losing to the teams that they shouldn't be losing. This is a 50-win basketball team. I mean, it really is. And Boogie Cousins missed a whole bunch of it. So all the credit in the world has to go to Gentry and Dell Demps, and I'm bringing in Miritich and what he has done, and Emeka Okafor. I mean, whoever in their wildest dreams would imagine what Okafor is doing right now. And just to see Drew Holiday playing up to his capabilities, and, of course, AD. And, you know, there's a team that hopefully the city's going to fall in love with, because now everybody's going to be locked in during this playoff run. And just hopefully it's a deep run, not only in this series, but hopefully winning a series. And when you get into multiple playoff series, that's when you get the casual observer, Gus, where they're going to watch these playoff games. And that's when the city really gets on board. So hopefully there'll be a bunch of people there tonight, because it's a very important game. And then whoever the first-round opponent may be, just play their tails off and give them a heck of a series. And look, and I know you guys are speculating who we're going to play. There are no easy matchups, Gus. It's the playoffs. I mean, you're trying to handpick your opponent. It doesn't matter. Whoever you're going to play is good, is really good. So you got to figure it out and beat them. And I don't think there's any team in the Western Conference that the Pels won't give a tough series to, just the way that they're playing right now. So let's bring them on. Let's bring them on, yeah. Whoever it may be.
I think of the phrase you say often, why not? You always say, why not? Why not? Go ahead and win that first. I think if they get into the second round, it'd be remarkable. I actually think they got a shot at a first. I know some of these matchups may not, the Jazz would be tough, but I don't see them getting swept, I guess is what I'm getting. Even with Houston, I could see them winning a game. I think they give these teams games, and they got a chip on their shoulder they're playing with. And, man, you and I have been in that arena when it's gotten ridiculous, and I think it can be there again. So, hey, starts tonight, I think, a little bit to kind of see. It's real simple. As Daniel Salerson said at the top of the hour, focus on Oklahoma City. If they beat Memphis, Pels win, it's the Trailblazers. If the Pels lose, it's the Rockets if OKC wins. So it's, you look at the Thunder, and then it's a win or loss. It's either the Blazers or the Rockets.
You beggars can't be choosers, but I think I'd rather go on the Portland side of things. That's just me.
Right.
I'd rather face the Rockets a little down the road. But, again, if you're going to get all the way, Gus, you got to beat one of these teams anyway, so why not early? It doesn't matter in the grand scheme of things.
All right, Graf, Charlie Ricks, host of the NOLA Golf Academy, came up with a brilliant suggestion. We got one for you. Super easy. You can use in the next home run call. And, I mean, it's you. Arrivederci.
That's a good one, Charlie. That's a good one.
And I mean, it's goodbye. I mean, there it is. It's goodbye. Yeah. I mean, you got it. I mean, there it is. It's one word. There it is.
Yeah. No, I can ham it up with the accent. Absolutely. I can pull it
all right.
Off.
Well, hopefully you will call that in a non-walk-off fashion against Houston.
I tell you what, Gus, I will make a promise to all the listeners out there. We get a home run this weekend, it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
There it is. Arrivederci. See you. Oh, I'm sorry. Arrivederci, Ty Graffanini.
Buena suerte.
There he goes, the Graf. Follow him on Twitter at NT. Graf. Final segment coming back on ESPN New Orleans. Just did a quick search, Pepito, still no signing for Willie Snead. Have you talked to the Ravens? A little visit. No signing yet. And Brandon Coleman wasn't offered a tender just yet. You might want to see if Brian Olesi is doing okay.
I can check.
You can just check and see if he's, you know, a little sad, if he's all right.
I mean, he posted 14 minutes ago. So
okay, well, he's all right.
He's all right.
Okay, all right. He's moving along then. All right, that's fine. Saints getting Cameron Meredith after the Bears refusing to match the offer. And per Adam Schefter, they said they didn't do it because of, you know, medical condition, the whole knee. To Twitter we go. Happy you're going to like this.
Sure.
Eric, when I said, oh, Saints got a new receiver. He says, yeah, with a bum knee. And then Relic comes back and says, yeah, in 06, they signed a quarterback with a bum shoulder. Let's hope that works out half as well. You do know.
It's a good point.
Yeah, probably not a people, you know, would have given Drew Brees a lot of money there. Saints did. Took a chance on him. As he said, that is something that he will never forget. That's always good. The Bima on Twitter says, when you were rambling out incoherently that the Saints could draft a kicker.
I wouldn't say it was incoherently.
As a possibility. And I said, no.
No, it's not incoherently.
No,
it was very coherent when I said it.
He says, well, it's not like the Raiders haven't drafted a kicker or a punter in the first round.
There you go, man. No, options.
It is not an option. I don't know why you think it's an option. See, when you speak like that, and people like Kevin have to tweet at me.
Saying what?
It's my new friend.
Why?
He tweets at me at GCAT_17. Kevin says, Pepito is by far the worst part of this show.
Aw. That's sweet.
Yeah.
You know what's funny about that tweet, mm-hmm. now that I'm reading it? Mm-hmm. If I'm the worst part of the show, is the apparently the show is absolute crap, right?
Well, the,
but I'm just the worst part.
I didn't read
part.
It like that. I was just reading you're the worst part.
Oh, the worst part.
Yeah. But I guess it could also be that the show is terrible.
But I'm the worst.
You're the worst part
oh,
of
I'm
the
on
terrible
top.
Show.
I'm on top.
You're basically the heel of, like,
oh,
in wrestling.
Kevin. Yeah. Is that his name?
Yes, it's Kevin.
I already forgot. Thank you, Kevin.
You didn't forget.
God bless
it's right
you.
There in front
God bless of you, sir. That's a nice young man right there.
It's been a long time since you've had a hate tweet.
Yeah.
I wouldn't call it a hate tweet. No, that's not a
come
hate
on.
Tweet.
Come on.
Hate's a strong word in
that's
today's
kind
day.
Of.
Yeah.
That's,
yeah. We love all listeners. You like us, you don't like us, that's fine.
I won't lose any sleep.
Chi-Chi get the Yayo 83. I have to pause. And
say that five times
I
very quickly.
I can't do it fast. He tweets at us, the usual suspects, the GIF, the usual suspects.
See, he likes me.
That's your new name for the
it
NFC
is for the
South.
NFC South.
Okay. That's what it is.
I'm over.
And then he also sends us the GIF of Mr. Miyagi working on Cameron Meredith's knee in the near future. The old smack the hands together and rub them and warm them up and make it work. Pel Spurs tonight, right here on ESPN New Orleans. We'll talk about that game. Much more. Matt Moskonen after further review. He's up next. Thanks for listening. You're listening to ESPN New Orleans.